I didn't want to start the show this way to let you know that, you know, one of the things I try to talk about from time to time is the people behind the scenes that make this show possible. They make my job easier. They make my job more enjoyable. I love the team that we get to work with here at Dog Nation Daily. And if I ever look good, if the show ever sounds good, it's because of the work that they do to make that happen. I am truly grateful for each and every person that is on this show and a part of this show each and every day. The reason why I say this to kind of start off our program today is one of our teammates, a good friend to all of us. His name is Cesar. He was involved in a car accident this weekend. And Cesar's fighting and he's battling. And up to this point in time, every piece of news that we've gotten about Cesar's recovery has all been good news. The point of me starting the show, though, is to tell you that while we've gotten a lot of good news up to this point, we need a lot more good news before all is said and done. So if you're the kind of person that prays, we would appreciate your prayers for our team here, for Cesar, that he would feel better soon, that his recovery would go well. This is a strong young man. This is a fighter. I've seen him fight for everything here, with his work. He's a committed, dedicated guy, and I'm certain that same spirit's going to carry him well right here. So, Cesar, we're praying for you. We're right there alongside with you. We would encourage all of Dog Nation to kind of join us in that regard. He's a good friend to all of us. He is an invaluable teammate, and we miss him so much here at work. We cannot wait to have him back feeling good again. So Dog Nation will appreciate your prayers, and we'll certainly look forward to delivering you the show you've come to expect. Now, Jeff Sintel, a little later on, a lot of news from the weekend. We'll cover it all as Dog Nation Daily begins right now.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We are going to be very busy today on Dog Nation Daily. Jeff Sintel coming up a little later on. There is a lot to get to from UGA recruiting. The best I can tell, ear to the ground, online chatter, just general sense, I think the weekend shakes out pretty well for Georgia. I'll let Jeff Sintel kind of fill in the gaps on that in terms of where Georgia stands here in the final pursuit towards February National Signing Day, those remaining scholarships that Georgia has available. I guess now one more than it started the weekend with. We'll kind of do all that with Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. I'll also tell you this before we kind of get into the Roquan Smith news, that tonight being a Tuesday night, we were supposed to be live at Marlowe's in Buford for our countdown to signing day event. Special guests, the folks from Tailgate Apparel going to be on hand. It's a big night, but there is the threat of weather here in the Atlanta area where we live, and given the fact that logistics and planning on stuff like this can be just a little bit tricky, we don't really quite know where all this is going. There's a chance that come 6 p.m. tonight, we may be staring at clear skies and pleasant driving conditions, but in the effort of calling it, we have an opportunity to get the message out. Here right now, we are going to say that we're going to postpone our Marlowe's event that was supposed to be tonight at Buford. We'll give you more details about an upcoming Marlowe's event coming up in just a few minutes. But if you're planning on being with us tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Buford, we will not be at that event. We'll be postponing that. We'll have more details on that coming up. So with that, all of that out of the way, let me turn the news, my attention to the news that really dominated a lot of yesterday. And that is Roquan Smith, the Georgia linebacker, the Butkus Award winner. Really, I thought the top college football player in the entire country for this past season, whether he won the Heisman or finished higher than 10th or not. I thought Roquan was the top guy in the sport. He makes his decision yesterday to go to the NFL draft. In a statement released by the University of Georgia, what Roquan says is, as you know, this is somewhat of a crossroads for me. I've had discussions with coaches and family and a lot of thought and prayer. The decision to leave is not easy, but I know it's the right one. Georgia will always be my school, my home. I sincerely wish all the best to the coaches, staff, and players as they continue to reach higher and the goals in the years to come. So that is Georgia linebacker Roquan Smith, and he says a couple of things there. At a crossroads, he talks about not an easy decision. And I will admit that there's a degree to which I kind of scoffed at some of y'all when you were saying that you thought there was a chance that Roquan might come back. I never really believed that was a possibility. But based on what Seth Emerson kind of reported in the build-up to that, that Roquan was legitimately torn about whether or not to come back to school. You kind of understand why a guy would want to keep having the fun that this Georgia team seemed to have this year. And yet when it's all said and done, it's also almost certainly the right choice for a guy who's I mean, if any of this online chatter leading up the draft can be believed, he's a top 15 pick at least. That is millions and millions of dollars. And you don't make yourself more money for coming back for a final season. So from that standpoint, Roquan going on in the NFL is just something that had to happen. This just had to occur. But obviously now for Georgia, while Dawg fans will wish Roquan well, he's got a bright future. Georgia fans will no doubt be proud of him, whatever he does at the next level in the NFL. There's also the very real concern of how does Georgia replace everything that Roquan Smith provided? And as an example of just how much Roquan did give to Georgia, I don't think there's any better summation of the Roquan Smith era at Georgia than what Kirby said about Roquan after the Georgia Tech game. Listen to this perfect phrasing, this great description of exactly what Roquan was for Georgia in the red and black. Here's Kirby after Tech.
Machine. I mean, he is a tackling machine. What he did today, and I can't say because I haven't watched the tape, but what I feel like was what I saw all week in practice. I mean, the guy's sideline to sideline, relentless, athletic, tough, competitive, leads, talks when people need talking to, quiet when it needs to be quiet. I mean, he's has impeccable character and just proud of the way he works and buys into what we believe.
So that's obviously a great description. We all saw this. We saw it in overtime against Oklahoma. We saw it in all of Georgia's big games this season, where Roquan almost seemed to defy any kind of like defensive scheme. I'm sure there was a plan out there for the 11 guys to sort of move in one direction and to, you know, have some sort of idea of how we wanted to stop opposing offenses. And yet Roquan seemed to be the kind of guy that his only plan on any given play was to have an unbelievable instinct for where the football was, for where it's going to be, and then to move as quickly as a human seemingly could to get that point and get the football. I mean, that's obviously a very difficult thing to replace, and I don't want to sugarcoat this. There is no guarantee that in 2018, George is going to have the same kind of effective both leadership and just dominant physical ability on the field now that Roquan Smith's going to be in the NFL. There's no guarantee that's the case. I can't promise you that the news here is all going to work out and be good for George. There's a chance it does. But there's no promise of that actually being the case. However, where there is a silver lining here is, as good as Roquan Smith was for Georgia this season, maybe if you want to go back to the spring when Roquan was injured not participating, maybe according to Kirby Smart's own words, it wasn't a guarantee then that Roquan would be as good as he turned out to be during the 2017 season. How do I know that? Well, let me set up this really quickly to play this clip. Do you remember back during the spring, and we played a lot of this audio back during Dawg Nation Daily, after all, we were on every day covering the build-up, the work going on at Georgia spring practice. But during the spring, Kirby kept talking about how disappointing he was in his defense. Disappointing the defense, praising the offense. He would say the offense was striking a violent blow against the defense, basically saying the defense was getting pushed around. Well, in the summer, some reporters asked Kirby, based on the way the defense had been challenged during the spring, how do they respond during summer practices? And Kirby, in his answer, sort of pivots back to Roquan Smith being absent during the spring. But listen to what else Kirby says about Roquan here. Maybe this is a clue that to a certain extent, maybe Roquan's great season, the Butkus Award-winning year, maybe it wasn't really foreshadowed all that much, at least in Kirby Smart's mind. Here's Kirby again.
I wouldn't say as a whole. I'd say parts, yeah. I mean, they played pretty physical up front. Roquan being in there is, you know, that I knew he wasn't there in the spring, but I didn't know how big that role was. But, you know, he's done a really good job of leading, making calls. He plays so hard. I enjoy watching him play.
So, according to Kirby Smart there, and listen, there's a chance maybe Kirby Smart's just sort of saying what he wants to say publicly and privately. He always knew the Georgia defense was hamstrung not having Roquan out there during the spring. But he says something to the effect of, hey, I didn't realize then just how valuable Roquan Smith was going to be for this unit there in 2017. So maybe if you want to think ahead to 2018, I don't want to say there's another Roquan Smith waiting in the wings, but maybe there's another breakout performer waiting in the wings who's you know, early stats or sort of early thoughts don't necessarily foreshadow that exactly happening. I mean, if you look at Roquan Smith's stats here for a moment, I mean, go back to his freshman year of 2015, he had only, 20 total tackles, only a tackle and a half for loss. That's a far cry from what he was by the time his junior season rolls around, 137 total tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss. This is a guy that seemed to kind of burst out pretty quick here in his final year. So when you look at linebackers who might have a chance to do that for Georgia in the interior next next season. I mean, is a guy like Monty Rice? I think overall, Monty Rice is probably a very different kind of player than Roquan. I think of Rice being more of a run-stopping linebacker as opposed to like the sort of dynamic side-to-side playmaker, but it could be him. A lot of you on the comment section over and over again have talked about it being Nate McBride, a guy that really didn't play on defense at all in his freshman season, was more of a special teams guy. But once again, I mean, Roquan on a less deep, less talented team in 2015 didn't necessarily show you all that much as a freshman either. I think if you want to look to the true freshman ranks of guys who have the kind of athletic profile that Roquan brings to the table, Channing Tindall may be the best example of that. That's big shoes to say, hey, young man, you're the next Roquan Smith, but from an athletic standpoint, he may be the closest to this. I think one of my overall takeaways, though, is when you talk about replacing Roquan Smith, it's not just how you replace him as the inside linebacker, because odds are Georgia's interior linebackers next year aren't quite as good as Roquan Smith. But what you have to have, though, is a breakout star emerge in some other area. That's how you can possibly end up filling the gap for Roquan a bit. Whether it be a guy like Tyler Clark, who I thought played great in the Oklahoma game and really earned some praise from a lot of the national and Oklahoma reporters who were there in Pasadena that day. Or maybe a guy like Jonathan Ledbetter. Ledbetter's the guy that we talked about on Friday here on Dog Nation Daily. He made the USA Today All-Bowl team, and I believe that I don't know if it's Roquan Smith-like breakout performance for him next season, but I certainly think he could be breaking out in a big way and much more of a household name then than he is right now. Another guy I tell you to keep your eye on is Walter Grant, a guy who I think was a big recruiting win for Georgia out of Cairo, played some this season, had flashes like the Notre Dame game where he looked really good. But overall, the kind of guy who I think in a bigger role in 2018, getting more playing time on the outside linebacker position, I think he steps up and does some big things. One thing is true, though, much like Roquan Smith won the Butkus Award this year, a lot of those guys that I just mentioned are going to benefit from the attention that Roquan brought to the program. Because as Kirby Smart has explained, good teams have individual players that get attention. Roquan led the way for that last year. Some other players may get a chance to sort of reap those benefits in 2018 as well. There's a little more from Kirby.
You know, we've talked a long time about team success equals individual success, and I think that a lot of these kids on this team are deserving of some of those individual accolades, but you don't usually get them unless you have team success first. And I think some of the team offense, defense, and special team success can lead to some recognition. But to win it, you got to play well. You got to be certainly a very productive player, and both those young men have been that.
Talking about obviously Roquan Smith and Lorenzo Carter is also in position for some of that as well. So listen, the bottom line for me is this. Georgia's in a pretty good place for next year. There's no guarantee there's a Roquan Smith on this roster, a Butkus Award winner, the kind of guy that was a tackling machine. But Georgia's got a lot of talent, and a lot of guys have a chance to step up. And they'll get more attention because of the work that Roquan did this year. Overall, the Georgia defense may be just fine, even if the individual performance doesn't quite match what number three brought to the table for 2017. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to be with you, whether you're watching on video, and it's nice to be back on video after taking the day off yesterday for the Martin Luther King holiday. Of course, we're 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page, at noon on the radio, on Athens Sports Radio, 960 The Ref, or in podcast form wherever podcasts can be found, iTunes, SoundCloud, worldfamousdognation.com. We try to make the show easy for you to find. As I mentioned off the top of the show, let me remind you one more time before we bring on Jeff Sintel here today, that we were supposed to be at Marlowe's in Buford tonight for our Countdown to Signing Day event. That is going to have to be postponed because of the threat of some bad weather in Atlanta. We don't know if it's coming or not. None of us here are meteorologists, but we at least want to make the wisest, smartest plan possible. So therefore, to keep all of you safe, to keep our team here safe, we're going to postpone this, but we're going to be back at another Marlowe's a week from now. That's next Tuesday. That's January 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m., Marlowe's in Sandy Springs. That's 5590 Prado Place. 5590 Prado Place in Sandy Springs. That's the Marlowe's in Sandy Springs there for that. So we'll look forward to being with you there this upcoming Tuesday, or I should say a week from now, 6 to 8 p.m., Marlowe's in Sandy Springs, 5590 Prado Place. We'll be there for our Countdown to Signing Day event a week from now. the Marlows in Buford tonight does get canceled. All right, so that is that on that front. We're getting ready to bring on Jeff Sintel here. I'm running late right now, so I'm not going to get a chance to squeeze this in before we talk to Jeff Sintel. But obviously there's a lot of other big news for Georgia in terms of guys moving and leaving the program, some guys choosing to stay. Before we're done today, we're going to sift through all of it. DeAndre Baker staying, Trent Thompson leaving, Jacob Eason leaving the program, Terry Godwin staying with the program. Kind of, we'll kind of weigh all that. We'll kind of figure out what all that means. It was a huge weekend for Georgia news, and we'll do that today before we're done here on Dog Nation Daily. But without further ado, I do want to get ready to bring on Jeff Sintel for now, though, because, you know, I've always said that, you know, you're going to have guys leave a program, but who comes into a program is always more important. How are you restocking the roster? How are you refilling the coffers? And Georgia certainly this weekend would seem to have taken some steps towards doing that. We're going to try to figure all of that out, including how the visit for five-star quarterback Tyson Campbell went to Georgia this weekend. Let's try to get all the details on that as we welcome in Jeff Sintel to Dog Nation Daily right now.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And we will get ready to say hello to Jeff Sintel here today. Always good to catch up with him here on Dog Nation Daily. Important on a weekend like the one we just observed to kind of catch up and find out what's going on with UGA recruiting. And Jeff, before we kind of get into any of the moving parts here in terms of the 2018 class, the Dogs, let me just piggyback off what I was saying before you joined us, which was really looking forward to being in Marlow's and Buford tonight for our big event. We are going to have to postpone that, as you, I'm sure, are aware of now, but we'll look forward to being at the Marlow's in Sandy Springs a week from now. So we'll miss out on a chance to say hello to the folks in Buford tonight, but I know you're like me, Jeff, in saying that can't wait to be back over there at the Mall of Georgia location and seeing our friends in Gwinnett County again very soon.
Yes, sir. That is a nice Marlow's location. The outdoor area on their outdoor patio area is really nice, and lots of great Dog Nation readers, viewers, listeners in Gwinnett County. Always enjoy that Gwinnett County tour stop. There's some people that show up at the Gwinnett County stops, others that show up at other locations, and if you're anything like the rest of us, Brandon, we're very grateful to be able to hang out and meet everybody that, you know, likes to read and pay attention to the things we do here on Dog Nation.
Boy, that is so true, Jeff. And before we get into the recruiting stuff, let me kind of go back to something I was talking about before you joined us, which is how Georgia replaces Roquan Smith. And listen, I'm a big believer, and I'll kind of lay all this out, that, you know, I don't necessarily see the next Roquan Smith right now in this interior linebacking core for Georgia. I do see some pretty good players, but I don't see someone that necessarily looks obviously like the next Roquan in the making. I think Monty Rice is a really good prospect, but probably I think of him more as just a different kind of player than Roquan, maybe. A lot of our audience loves Nate McBride. They think he can be that guy. I think that Channing Tindall athletically probably looks the most like Roquan, but that's maybe a couple of years away. When you look at Georgia in 2018, who's the guy doing the Roquan Smith stuff for this defense next season?
Well, I think that's the important place to start there, Brandon, is and I'm going to just throw this topic out. I would encourage any interaction or feedback on the show as possible. I'm going to elevate Roquan Smith very, very highly. I think what Roquan did this year on and off the field, leadership-wise, always saying and doing the right things, I kind of tweeted out that that's what a Circle of Honor candidate looks like at Georgia while they're playing. Now, of course, Roquan has to distinguish himself in his professional career, graduate, post-secondary education life, and everything else like that. But I don't know if I can think of five Bulldogs that are going to go down when all is said and done as having a greater impact on their teams and on the program than Roquan Smith. So when we talk about finding the next Roquan, I hope, even if we forget a word or some clarification terms in there, I hope people understand that these are the guys that are going to play the Roquan position at Georgia, because that's when everybody talks about the next Roquan. That's what I think hopefully people are trying to convey, is the guy that will be a dominant, smart, physical, instinctual, fast, first down smothering, punt forcing linebacker for years to come. I think the Roquan position is already being used a lot. It was used in the recruitment of Channing Tindall. it's going to be used. It's being used in the recruitment of Owen Popoe right now. Very much a glamour position right now at Georgia. And I think you got a lot of guys because, Brandon, think about this. Georgia has had a host of great linebackers and inside linebackers. You think of guys like Akeem Ditt. You keep going down the line, Alec Ogletree. I mean, Georgia has had a lot of great inside linebackers that are playing pro ball right now and that are doing well. Not too many guys that just elevated to Roquan status. So I think that's the main thing. I mean, Mike McBride is fast. Channing Tindall is fast and physical and smart. I think McBride has a lot of those qualities. I think Monty Rice has a lot of those qualities. Depending on what happens with Natress Patrick, he's a guy that can also get in the mix. Tay Crowder, Jawan Taylor. It's kind of funny, Brandon, if collectively, if you looked at those names, McBride, Kendall, Taylor, Crowder, Monty Rice, Wills, if you look at all those guys, that's a pretty stout linebacking core for a lot of Georgia teams over the last decade. It's just not what Georgia had with Roquan. And I think that's the big thing to remember. You're going to hear me say this a lot. I think Georgia can be better. I think Georgia will definitely be more talented defensively in a lot of areas, maybe not as seasoned or experienced, but Georgia's defense will be different, and the road to being different still means it can be better in 2018.
And I'm a big believer that in terms of, you know, being a better defense 2018, even if you can't replace Roquan with an interior linebacker that's as good as he was, you've got to have some sort of breakout star emerge at some other position. So, in other words, for me in 2018, the replacement for Roquan Smith isn't necessarily a linebacker. It's Jonathan Ledbetter becoming even better, you know, taking that next step with his development. Richard LeCount, you know, kind of, you know, rounding into the position of being a dominant safety. I think Tyler Clark's an example of this. The way he played against Oklahoma is sort of maybe a foreshadowing of great success. I mean, if you look at Roquan's stats, we also talked about this a moment ago. Go back even to his sophomore year in 2016, Jeff. It's 95 tackles. It's 5 tackles for loss. That's a good season, but that's more solid starter than it is Butkus Award winner. I mean, he doesn't really break out in the national sort of memory banks until this season when he goes 14 tackles for loss, 137 total tackles. So, I mean, there is a chance that another player in another position group takes a Roquan-like leap here during his junior season. And, frankly, I think it's more likely to be at another position than it is with any of the inside linebackers. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, Brandon, that's the way to couch it up and to dial it in. I mean, since we're in the talking heads and analysis business, I think you kind of just you kind of just captured it perfectly right there when you said Roquan's ascent. I think Roquan went from an All-SEC player to the Butkus Award and a unanimous All-American type guy from 2016 to 2017, and that's what Georgia's going to do. When I say the defense is going to be different, I mean there are going to be a lot of guys that go from a contributor phase to one of the best players in the SEC at their position. I think a guy like Richard LeCount can do that in his first year. I think Ledbetter can make the jump from one of the best in the SEC to perhaps one of the best in the nation or an all-SEC type guy. I think Tyler Clark was an all-SEC defender at his defensive tackle spot at the end of his sophomore season. I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to have guys go from sixes and sevens at their position to nines and tens, and areas that are not going to be as a strength, like maybe the length and the way Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy kind of played an all-around game. Maybe some of these young freshmen might impact the game in a different area, maybe more pass rush. A guy like Kendall is a guy that I think will get on the field fast at Georgia. You'll see more out of Nate McBride. Monty Rice is the classic downhill thumper. You're going to see DeAndre Baker. If you want to just roll out the new terrors on defense for Georgia, DeAndre Baker comes back. That's huge. Tyler Clark, Jonathan Ledbetter, Julian Rochester. You're going to see a lot of those guys. And one of those freshmen are going to just connect. I think the guy that's going to really, really connect because he enrolls early is a guy like Britton Cox, who in some ways is basically better suited to play that edge defender position in the run game and in the pass rush game, especially as a true freshman. He is well suited. He's got the body to play well at that position in the SEC, probably by October of his freshman year.
Well, that's an interesting thought to think about. And speaking of that 2018 class, let's transition to a little more of that right now. So, Jeff, a lot of tea leaves being read to the extent that they can be. A lot of ears to the ground, online chatter. A lot of Georgia fans think it must have gone well for the Dogs and five-star cornerback Tyson Campbell this weekend. Fair or not, some people even connect the decision of Rashad Wild Goose to move away from Georgia to a decommit from the program as another possible example of Dogs must be feeling good about Tyson Campbell right now. I know Campbell tweeted out, you know, a picture of himself in the Georgia uniform like so many of these guys do when they take their official visit. Of course, I know what you're about to say. All official visits all go well. They're all good. They're all fun. So I know you're going to say that. But apart from that, how do you think things went with Campbell and the Dogs this weekend?
Opening statement. I was wondering when this was going to come, Brandon. It's probably a little bit later into the show than I thought it would come. So let me do this. Choose your fist pump, your profound exclamation of choice, or your Brandon Adams cackle, if you want to say that. Feel good about where things are at right now with Tyson Campbell. It's probably the best way I can politically put that, I would say. And you saw four pictures in his tweet from Georgia, I believe, and that's something to think about, especially because he's made multiple visits to Georgia as well. The positions are there. I don't really lean too much into the wild goose theory. I really didn't mean to say that like I did, but the wild goose theory about this decommitment leading to good things with Tyson Campbell. I think maybe the handwriting was on the wall from Wild Goose a couple of weeks earlier, and this was just finality to it. And then same thing with Tyson Campbell. He's really felt good about both Georgia and Alabama for quite some time. There's a reason why a young man that doesn't really like the recruiting process just sets up two officials when he hadn't really taken any visits of consequence. I think he lives maybe 25 miles away from Coral Gables in Miami, but I think he's only taken one visit to Miami all of last year during his senior season and even during the preseason. That's very indicative of where Tyson Campbell put the focus on his high school team and not his recruiting. And then when he just schedules two officials and nothing else, you know, some guys like this, Brandon. Some guys want to take all five. You give them nine visits, they take all nine. Other guys, if they said the NCAA is dropping it down to three officials, they would be all good with that. I think Tyson Campbell falls into that latter camp. So obviously everybody's doing the math. Tyson Campbell is important because we've written a lot of on the site over the last 2 weeks. Georgia's only signed two other five-star corners off the 24/7 sports composite in its history in the modern era of recruiting, 2003 and 2009. That would be the seventh five-star in this class. That has never been done. Simply put, let me go back to my opening statement. Dog Nation and Georgia fans have a right to probably feel pretty good about Tyson Campbell right now. I will couch that statement by saying these are also young men, hearts and minds of young men are likely not always the most stable platforms to make educated guesses from, but I would say Georgia fans, Tyson Campbell, it is not a pipe dream to think good things are happening there.
You know, that is a monster news, Jeff. You know how I feel about Campbell and that position in particular. I just think it's the final frontier for UGA recruiting to be able to bring in those elite five-star true cornerbacks. Not, and with all due respect to other players, but true cornerbacks. Not, you know, just athletic safeties, you know, tweener, you know, crossover type guys, hybrid defensive backs, but actual honest-to-goodness cover corners. I just think I think that Tyson Campbell, guys that look like Campbell, are, I think, for many teams, not just Georgia, but for many teams, are the missing piece for national championships. And I think that if Campbell were to come to Georgia, Jeff, that's the name I would celebrate as much as any other name if I was a Georgia fan. Campbell is the kind of, you know, validation stamp that almost no other player this 2018 class, I think, would be.
Well, Brandon, it means a lot on a lot of levels. Number one, biggest remaining target, yeah, that's definitely Tyson Campbell. Also would show an out-of-state victory that just kind of shows what Kirby Smart built with getting a defensive backs coach, a coordinator like Mel Tucker with NFL experience, and also a guy like James Cooley to work his South Florida connections. I think that shows a lot as the way Georgia was built and constructed initially to kind of win these out-of-state battles. The other thing to think about there is it's a head-to-head win against Alabama. And we said this last week, I think Tyson Campbell would be one of the top three commitment signees for Georgia total in the class of 2018.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. All right, let me run through a few more names here real quick. As far as other guys on campus this weekend, some folks were having some fun on social media with the presence of Kirby Smart at the Georgia basketball game against South Carolina. Ugly performance from the Dogs, but nonetheless, in the stands, things were going pretty well, it seemed. Kirby Smart sitting side by side right there with the big defensive tackle, Rick Sandage. You've said before that, you know, this is a tough needle for Georgia to thread here in terms of pulling Sandage away from, you know, whether it be his mom's alma mater, South Carolina, maybe I guess even the in-state place, North Carolina, although now it seems like it's maybe more of a South Carolina deal for Sandage. I mean, anything, any reason to believe that things are changing between Georgia and Sandage, or is this still a bit of an uphill climb for the Dogs?
I wouldn't call it uphill climb. What I would call it is, you know, like you said earlier, Brandon, official visits are supposed to go well. And, you know, when you brought up the basketball team, really, you know, obviously we don't cover basketball recruiting as much as football recruiting on this program or even on the site, but good things are happening for Mark Fox. They're recruiting at a higher level. And, like many of those that follow Georgia and, you know, root for Georgia and cover Georgia, basketball season needs to be more for Georgia than just a place to see those January official visitors show up in the stands.
It's so true.
Sitting next to Kirby Smart or, you know, the coordinator du jour for the position that the young man is being recruited to play. But with Sandage, I never really thought South Carolina was more like the team to beat. And, you know, I know so many people that follow our stuff and follow Georgia recruiting are sitting there going, and this is some very interesting algebra. The theoretical of, let's say Rick Sandage had a tremendous home run visit to Georgia, and it even turns out to be a better visit than his visit to those Gamecocks that are trending so well. I think Rick Sandage would definitely complicate a lot of mock class finishes for Georgia. Because then you start wondering about, okay, defensive tackle. Even though Malik Herring is maybe trending to play some defensive tackle, I've been told by very credible sources that I think Devontae Wyatt will play a lot of ball and a lot of ball fast for Georgia in 2018 just because he brings a unique skill set. So how many defensive tackles does Georgia take? That's going to be the very big question there. And also, like, does Rick Sandage mean – Georgia has to choose between a Quay Walker and then a Otis Reese. What about Isaac Taylor Stewart? It's going to be a very complicated picture for Georgia should things work out and trend well for Rick Sandage. I think it's easier to figure out Georgia's class if Sandage does still wind up in South Carolina, because you've got a big guy like that, it's going to be awfully, awfully hard to say no to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me do a couple other things here, Jeff, and then we'll let you go. We always appreciate your time. Michael Moore was asking about Quay Walker in the comment section. We're on Facebook Live. Obviously, we know the situation with Walker. Alabama commit. Georgia's been chasing him hard here lately. It seems like the feeling is mutual between Walker and the Dogs. He had to visit to Tennessee this weekend. A lot of folks online saying that went really well for Walker there in Knoxville with a coach he already has a good relationship with in Jeremy Pruitt. So well, in fact, that Florida's now been eliminated from the pursuit here for Quay Walker. But does whatever happened in Knoxville have any impact whatsoever on Georgia?
Well, it's really a final three. Like, it was kind of funny when I talked to Quay Walker at the Under Armour game. At the end of the Under Armour game, he was kind of telling me, okay, wrap your brains around this. He was committed to Alabama. He was not going to decommit from Alabama. But he was also not likely to give Alabama another official visit. He said if Pruitt would have stayed at Alabama, then he likely would have been, you know, lock, stock, signed, and sealed to stick with Alabama. So Pruitt definitely was the monkey wrench that changed a lot of that. And I see it being a Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee race going forward. And I really kind of think it's going to be Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia going forward. He has switched up his official visits. The reports coming out have been verified that it's going to be February the 2nd. Georgia will get the last official visit for Quay Walker. And again, Quay Walker is a guy kind of like I streamlined in an earlier thought. you know, Quay Walker, Otis Reese, Tyson Campbell, Jordan Davis, Tramell Walthor. Wow, that's complicated. Remember, we've been writing a lot about Tommy Bush. A very good player, and this is the way Georgia is, guys. A very good player, especially in recruiting. The type of guy that maybe might have been a top five, top 10 guy in the class as recently as 3-4 years ago. I'm talking about an Otis Reese or a Quay Walker or a Tommy Bush, guys like that. There's just not any room at the end for a guy like that anymore. Georgia's going to have to sit there and look at needs, about whether it needs a big physical receiver like Tommy Bush that's 6'5" and can run a 4.4. Do they need to add another guy like that to the depth chart? Where currently there's just one guy that kind of fits that mold in Matt Landers, who had a very promising redshirt freshman season. I do think Jeremiah Holloman is going to be a guy that makes a move on offense and will kind of be more in the vernacular, or more in that role of catching a lot of those big balls that Javon Wims did last year. I think maybe the combination of Landers and Holloman, I can see kind of replacing a lot of the production in their first seasons at Georgia that Javon Wims produced for the Bulldogs. So, again, you just got another guy, Quay Walker, Otis Reese, somewhat similar three-down linebackers, guys that can play in space, guys that can really be punishing physical guys. It's just a really, 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 really tough decision there. It's kind of like choosing between, you know, page 121 of the swimsuit issue or page 124 of the swimsuit issue about, you know, your taste, preference, whatever you want to do. I just really think, and Quay Walker is a guy, he checks off every box. Forget that Chris County mojo and maybe the bad feelings with Big Cat Bryant's recruitment. Quay Walker is a guy that can cover the slot receiver. He can play inside and be very physical, make his run fits, make plays on the interior inside the box on first and second down. He can rush the passer. He can shadow a slot receiver in space. Can also be a big hitter like Otis Reese, but Walker Reese, if it ever comes down to that, I know we have a lot of people on the show and on the podcast every day that check out that film and watch that film like a hawk. I'd like to know what more people think there, if they do their own personal evaluations about Reese versus Walker, if that's an either or, if there's any scenario where Georgia can still keep both of those guys or add both of those guys to the class. That is a very tough choice there. And if you kind of press me against the A gap and try to get me to figure out which one I would like, I'd probably hem and haw for quite a bit, but then I'd eventually probably settle on Walker.
Yeah, I think you did a good job kind of laying out the choice that's there. And the one thing I like about Quay Walker is, as you said before, this is a three down, you know, linebacker, the kind of guy that you can leave on the field, you know, essentially for every single play. And there's obviously a lot of value associated with that. At the risk of making my producers, Michael and Hannah, my good friends, mad here for a final question, I actually want to change things up because Brandon Vernon, Bobby Wetherington, Landon Perry, all in the comment section reminding me that I've been promising for a while we talk more about D'Angelo Gibbs. And so, Jeff, if you don't mind, let me ask here to close things out a question that our staff's not prepared for, but because so many of these comments are coming in, I do want to finish with this. Any reason for you to believe that D'Angelo Gibbs won't be a potential big-time contributor for Georgia in 2018?
Big-time contributor. Well, that's going to depend on how well he practices and how well he performs. I do know that I've been told things with D'Angelo Gibbs are good. D'Angelo is fine, and D'Angelo is still going to be a part of the Georgia Bulldogs football team in 2018. Tremendous talent. He was a guy that a lot of guys were fist pumping about in the first week of January when he made his decision to go to Georgia at the Under Armour All-American game. D'Angelo Gibbs has a bright football future ahead of him right now, and I think the best thing that needs to be said about that is there's really no reason to worry yet about D'Angelo Gibbs. He's going through a growing process and a maturation process that a lot of first-year football players do when maybe they're not playing as much as they did on the high school level. And I think D'Angelo Gibbs is going to be just fine.
All right, Jeff, that's good to hear. We appreciate your time. I tell you, I'm going to miss seeing you tonight. I've gotten used to seeing you every Tuesday night here at our Marlowe's events. It's going to be a disappointment not to be able to see you tonight, but I guess we'll look forward to talking to you soon. And if it does snow, a dusting, quarter of an inch, eighth of an inch, whatever we're going to get, I hope you and your family stay warm, Jeff.
Oh, they've already got sledding trips planned around the neighborhood and everything else like that, snowball fights, everything else like that. I will say I was looking forward to seeing everybody at Marlowe's, and what we try to tend to do is we like to finagle a special guest or two to come and join us that are kind of central to that area or from that region. So we'll have to get back to Gwinnett at a later date, but I want everybody to know the next two Marlowe's events, we've got one next week in Sandy Springs and then the following weekend and the following Tuesday in Brookhaven, and lots of big news that will be coming down the track. I think Georgia might have one or two more commitments by the time we finish that Brookhaven show, and the class will look a little bit clearer, at least, for the remaining big pieces of the 2018 class for Georgia.
Now, why are you doing this, Jeff? Now all you're doing is sort of conjuring up our imagination about the special guests that were going to be with us tonight. We start thinking about Buford location, Gwinnett County. Who could that be? All of a sudden, now our imagination's running wild for an event we're not even going to get to do tonight. That's really kind of rubbing some salt in the wound right there, because I don't even know who the special guests or special guest was going to be. So now all of a sudden I have to spend the rest of my day wondering who it was I would have gotten a chance to talk to tonight.
Well, Brandon, that's the nature of the entertainment business, my friend. Always leave them wanting more. You know, everybody's going to be wanting to know what's Brandon going to be concerned about. Is it going to be 6 5-star players? Is it going to be 7 5-star players? Can Georgia already add its 4th 5-star for 2019? The road ahead, at least over the last 2 or 3 years in Georgia Bulldog recruiting, always looked very, very good.
Jeff, great to talk to you. We'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Jeff sort of got the early hook there on the goodbye. Michael Shalaba, our on-site producer here, running a strict show. He gave Jeff the hook on the early goodbye there. But always fun to have Jeff Sintel on Dog Nation Daily. By the way, speaking of the comment section, a lot of folks in the comment section talking about D'Angelo Gibbs, other things. I also noticed that Amy Hester in the comment section commenting on my brand new sweater. So this I was actually wearing today for a specific reason. This is from Tailgate Apparel. The T-shirt is as well, kind of an old-school T-shirt. Now, if you're listening to the show, A, you don't care. B, you can't see it. But for those of you watching the show, I'm actually wearing items here from Tailgate Apparel. You hear me talk about Tailgate Apparel when our buddy David Green is with us, the former Georgia quarterback who is doing some work there with Tailgate Apparel, 279 East Broad Street in Athens. Tailgate was going to be with us tonight at Marlowe's in Buford. They were going to be doing some giveaways, so I was going to wear the Tailgate stuff in honor of them and to show it off here on camera. But alas, the weather going to prohibit us from doing that this evening. But my understanding is Tailgate, I think, is going to be back with us for the Marlowe's in Sandy Springs a week from now. So that is that. And Amy Hester, thank you and your husband Nakia for noticing the Tailgate stuff that I'm wearing here today. With that said, let me transition our SEC through. I'll also remind you the Dog Nation Daily, brought to you in part by our friends at MyBookie. A lot of you had bets down over the week in the NFL games. Hope you did okay. Once again, my buddy Michael, one of our producers, apparently this weekend didn't go so well on that front, not to put his business out there, but apparently had a little bit of a rough go on a few games. Apparently the ending to that Minnesota-New Orleans game may have hurt him just a bit. But, hey, the thing I tell him and the thing I tell you is that's all okay if you play where the pros play with my friends at MyBookie. Online at MyBookie.ag, whether it be point spread, money lines, the over-unders, it's all there for you. You can play it there at MyBookie. And right now, Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers have got a great opportunity to make money before you even start, because your first deposit there with MyBookie can be matched up to 100% if you use the promo code Dog Nation. That's the promo code Dog Nation, D-A-W-G. The promo code Dog Nation, spelled the way it's supposed to be at the website, mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. It's as simple as that. On the web at mybookie.ag, the promo code is Dog Nation, and your first deposit can be matched up to 100%. So a lot of Alabama-type stuff here for the SEC through, but I think some of this is really interesting. Brian Daboll, the Alabama offensive coordinator, is the Alabama offensive coordinator no more. He is going back to the NFL. He'd come from New England as the tight ends coach. Now he's going to Buffalo as the offensive coordinator. And so Alabama left in the position of looking for a new OC, which is not really new for this program. I mean, you had Dable there for a year. You had Sarkisian for a game before that. Kiffin was, seemingly the veteran, had been there 3 years before that. The point is, though, Saban's replaced a lot of offensive coordinators. This is not necessarily that big of a deal. However, what Aaron Suttles reports in the Tuscaloosa News is potentially kind of interesting here. That maybe one of the things that accelerated Dable's decision to go back to the NFL was a possible rift over the quarterback situation. That according to Suttles, Dable wanted to play Tua Tagovailoa much sooner during the season. Nick Saban wanted to hold on to a Jalen Hurts, and maybe that caused a bit of a disagreement. Now, apparently that's not what the big blow-up on the sideline was about during the Clemson game, at least according to sources close to Suttles and what Suttles wrote at Tidesports.com. But nonetheless, that rift may have contributed to this, which is another example of what I believe is a bit of micromanaging on the part of Saban with his offense. Last year, it was the odd decision to send Lane Kiffin packing in favor of Steve Sarkisian for the national championship game. I believe that decision cost Alabama that day, cost them the national championship, and now it's the maybe meddling in the quarterback situation here that may have cost him Brian Dable, at least if you believe what the Tuscaloosa News is saying. Now, where is Alabama going to go for a replacement? Well, there are reports, including, once again, Aaron Suttles from the Tuscaloosa News, that Alabama has already met with Hugh Freeze. Now, Hugh Freeze is a complicated figure in college football right now. There is no doubt that he is one of the best play callers in the entire sport. And it kind of fits what Lane Kiffin brought for Alabama when he took the job in 2014, which is an up-tempo, sort of modernized offense and not the same kind of doldrums that a program like LSU has been kind of stuck in with. But obviously, Lane Kiffin's got a ton of personal baggage. And there are plenty of rumors out there that Kiffin's 3 years at Alabama was marred by off-field behavior. You know, people don't want to go on the record, but that's obviously been spoken about. You know, it begs the question of why you would want to go back down this road again, and what it says about Alabama, they would consider making a decision that almost no other college program right now would make. Ultimately, I don't think that Freeze gets this job, but the fact they're even floating it is a bit of a thing that sort of separates Alabama from the rest of college football. I'll also rattle off a couple other quick stories here. Mekhi Brown, the player involved in the altercation, first with a Georgia player and then with an Alabama coach in the national championship game, he is leaving the program. He's going to Tennessee State. Now, of course, he went back and played in the national championship game after he, supposedly, appearingly took a swing at an Alabama coach. But I guess now... Brown's leaving the program. Some are going to say this is not connected to that event. Others are going to roll their eyes at that assertion. Quentin Dormady, the Tennessee quarterback, he's leaving the Vols. I guess this maybe opens the door for Jared Garantano there at Tennessee a bit more. But Dormady leaving that program, that announcement coming out over the weekend. And then I thought that Steve Ensminger, the LSU offensive coordinator, had kind of an interesting quote. He was asked about, for Ed Orgeron in his second year, how can he match the success that Kirby Smart had at his second year at Georgia? Ensminger's quote here I thought was kind of interesting. He says, Georgia had a unique ability with great running backs. They had a chance to develop Jake Fromm early in the year, and they didn't rely on him to make plays. They had a chance to develop him. He went through a whole season and got better and better. Confidence grew with everything else. I think we can do that. He means LSU. The only difference right now is that with us, hey, do we have good running backs? Just like every other position, none of them are proven yet. I think what Ensminger says there is kind of interesting, and he sort of puts all of Georgia's success on its running backs. But the truth is, Georgia had good running backs for a while. What separates Georgia in 2017 from anything, I think, in previous years, with all due respect, I think it goes to the quarterback. I think that Jake Fromm took that quarterback position to Georgia to another level. And for a defensive-minded coach like Kirby Smart, quarterbacks and offensive coordinators are a really important thing to figure out. And when you have the marriage of the great defensive-minded head coach with the really good offensive underling and the really good quarterback to be tutored, all of a sudden things can work out kind of magically. If you're wondering, I don't think that's in place at LSU, and the kind of dramatic leap that Georgia took in year two under Kirby Smart, I don't think that LSU is eligible for that kind of gain. We will make that your SEC through. Okay, so here on Dog Nation Daily, I do want to go back to something that I meant to talk about early in the show. We just sort of ran out of time because of all the things that we're trying to squeeze in today's show, and that is some of the other decisions that were made by Georgia players over the weekend, extending into a Monday with the MLK holiday. We did a lot on Roquan Smith a little earlier in the show, his decision to go pro. Really, he had to do it. I mean, even if he was torn about coming back, if he'd chosen to come back, it's almost like that would have been used against Georgia as negative recruiting fodder in terms of, hey, they gave Roquan Smith bad advice. When you're going to make as much money as Roquan's about to make, you've got to go take that money. I wish him well. I would love to have seen him in a Georgia uniform, but it's just really not possible for a guy about to be drafted that high, assuming he does go as high as we think he is, to come back to school. So that is what it is. As far as the other guys, though, you know, DeAndre Baker is coming back to Georgia now. I think that's good news for the Dogs. And we talked about this with Seth Emerson on Thursday on Dog Nation Daily. This is a guy that Kirk Herbstreit, the national championship game broadcast, really praised. Praised as a one-day future high-round draft pick. Now, I thought that the Herbstreit's praise of Baker might have been a little much, but nonetheless, I do think that's I think that's pretty good news for Georgia to get him back. I think the kind of guy that, you know, provides that cornerback position some stability, I think that only helps Georgia's secondary next season, which needs to improve if Georgia wants to get over the hump and win the national championship. So Baker coming back, I think, is good news. I think that Terry Godwin coming back, while not unexpected, is also good news as well. I think Godwin is the kind of guy that Georgia can rely on next season. You know, he's never going to be one of these, you know, super tall, traditional outside receivers. You know, he doesn't have the look that Javon Wims had. I think one of the reasons why Wims had the better year this year is because of his physical makeup. But Godwin's still a former five-star prospect coming out of high school and the kind of guy that could have a big final season there at Georgia. Trent Thompson leaving is obviously a bit of a blow to the Georgia defensive line. I know at one point in time he had sort of tweeted out that he was excited about his senior year. All of a sudden now, I guess, you know, he changed his mind, and, you know, according to what Seth Emerson's reported about this, this wasn't unexpected from those close to Thompson, that maybe the social media stuff from him was a little bit premature, that he was looking to kind of move on to the next level. Obviously, Georgia fans wish him well and will look to replace him. I think I mentioned Tyler Clark early. I think Georgia's in a pretty good position with his talent, you know, for 2018. But at a certain point, you're going to have to look more at sort of refilling that defensive line through recruiting. That seems to be one area in which Georgia's missed out on a couple of those guys here recently. And then there's Jacob Eason. And, you know, we'll kind of wrap up the show, and we'll go ahead and play the closing fight song here, and we'll think about Eason to kind of close things out. You know, I said this on Friday. This broke late after we did the show for Friday, and we recorded the show for Monday, so I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. I think ultimately Eason at Georgia has got to be remembered for how he handled what was a very tough situation. And I still think he's a very good player. I think he's going to go on one day and play in the NFL. But for Georgia in 2017, Jake Fromm was just a better quarterback. And in the future, you're going to have probably a lot of good players like Eason potentially leave the program. A quarterback, maybe at other positions, who you bring in is always more important than who you watch leave or who you let go of. And with Jacob Eason, we'll certainly wish him well at his next stop, but I'm going to have fond memories of Eason not allowing himself to become a distraction during what was a special season for Georgia to build up the national championship game. I'll also tell you, 284 days from right now, Georgia beats Florida again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily, and we'll see you tomorrow.